Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Chukas. The title of the shiur tonight is The Death Ceremony of Aharon. So tonight, I want to look at the aspect of the parsha that deals with the death of Aharon and the description of the death of Aharon in the Torah. And we'll look at it. We'll try to understand what exactly is going on there with the death of Aharon. So if we look in source number one, it's our parsha, Bamidbar Perek Chaf, starts with Pasuk Chaf Gimel. I'll read through the psukim as normal, and we'll summarize, and then afterwards we'll ask the questions. It says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'el Aharon behor har al gvul eretz Edom lemor." So Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aharon in Mount Hor, which is on the border of Edom, saying, "Yasef Aharon el amav ki lo yavol eretz asher nasati bnei Yisrael al asher marisem sp lemei mariva." He says to Moshe and Aharon that Aharon is going to die, and he's not going to go into the land because of the sin by Mei Meriva, the same sin of Moshe. Aharon was also part of that sin, and because of that, he wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Kachas Aharon v'Salazar b'no v'halo sam horahar. So now Hashem says to Moshe to take Aharon and also Elazar, his oldest son, or his oldest remaining son, and bring them up to Horahar, which was the name of the mountain. We have Shadis Aharon is Begadav, Vil Bashtam, Esal Azarbino, Vaharon Yasefu Mesham. And Aharon will remove his clothing, and then the clothing, the big day kahuna, will be given to Elazar, and he'll be dressed in those begadim, and Aharon will die there. Vayas Moshe Kashir Tiva Hashem, Vayalu El Horahar, Leine Kol Haida. And Moshe followed Hashem's command. He went up to Horahar in front of everybody. And Moshe removed the clothing of Aharon, and he put them on Elazar, the big day kahuna. Aharon died there, and Moshe and Elazar, they came down the mountain after Aaron's death. And the whole nation saw that Aharon had died, and they cried regarding Aaron's death for 30 days. So there's a little static in the background, so if you can, please put your mute buttons on. It would be very appreciated by me. Please put your mute buttons on. Okay, so the question is, so in summarizing, the Torah is teaching us that Hashem tells Moshe and Aharon to go up to Horahar, and Aharon was going to wear the Big Day Kahuna, Moshe was going to take off the Big Day Kohen Gadol, give him to Lazar. Then Aharon dies, and Moshe and Elazar go down, and then there's Avelis. There's the mourning of Aharon after his death. So there's a couple questions here, but the main question that I want to take up, which we'll come to towards the end of this year, is really what is the necessity of this ceremony, where Aharon goes up with the Begadim, with the Big Day Kahuna, and then he takes them off, and he gives them to Elazar. So why was there such a need before Aaron's death to go up with his son, to give him the clothing? You know, why was that necessary? Why was that part of his death? Why couldn't he just go up with his normal clothing and just go up alone, or go up with Moshe? Why did he go up with Elazar, take off his clothing, and give his clothing to Elazar? What's the need for this type of ceremony? So that's the main question. But a side question, which I think also will tie into a deeper idea about the death of Aharon, is that if you notice, the Torah mentions many times the place of Aharon's death is Horahar. You know, there's a lot of static in the background, so I'm just going to probably call back in, unless... does everybody have their mute buttons on? Can everybody confirm that? Are the mute buttons on? Because there's a lot of static in the background. Now the static just went off. Okay, great. Oh, it's still there. Okay, so I'm going to continue. So another question, one of the questions that we're going to address, which is kind of a side question, but also will tie in, is the idea of Horahar. If you look through source number one, I bolded all the times it says Horahar. It says it many times. The name of the place that Aharon died is called Horahar. And the question is, why is it so significant for us to know that this is the place that he died? And if you don't believe me, let's look at other psukim. We'll look in Bamidbar, again in Lamed Gimel. If you look in source number two, it says, Vayisu mikadesh v'yachanu b'horahar b'ktzeh eretz Edom. So in describing the travels of Bnei Yisrael, it says that they traveled from Kadesh, and they camped in Horahar, which was on the border of Edom. Vayal Aaron HaKohen El Hor HaHar Al Pi Hashem Vayom HaShem B'Shnas Arba Em L'Tzeis B'nei Yisrael Meret Yitzrayim B'Chodesh HaChamishi B'Echal L'Chodesh. And it says that Aaron the Kohen went up to Hor HaHar based on the words of Hashem, and he died there in the 40th year from leaving Mitzrayim. In the fifth month, the first day of the fifth month, the Aaron ben Shalosh V'Esrim U'Miyashana B'Moso B'Hor HaHar. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Hor HaHar. So again, in source number 2, in Bamidbar Lamed Gimel, we see that in each Pasuk, Hor HaHar is mentioned. Whenever Aaron's death is mentioned, it says Hor HaHar, where he died. So why is it so important that we associate Aaron's death with the place that he died in? Why do we keep mentioning Hor HaHar? Why is it so relevant? Especially Lamed Tes in source number 2, Perek Lamed Gimel in Bamidbar, Pasuk Lamed Tes, it says, V'Aaron ben Shalosh V'Esrim U'Miyashana B'Moso B'Hor HaHar. Why do we have to know where he died? Why didn't you just say he died when he was 123? Furthermore, another pasuk in source number 3, which is in Devarim, the very end of the Torah of Chamishei Chumshei Torah, it's talking about Moshe's death, and it says Umus Bahar Asher Ata Ola Shama V'Yasef Elamecha Kasher Mis Aaron Achicha B'Hor HaHar V'Yasef Elamav. So, in describing the death of Moshe, it says that Moshe is going to die in Har Nevo. And he's going to die the same way that Aaron died in Hor HaHar. So again, the Torah mentions Hor HaHar and in referencing Aaron's death. All right, I'm going to call back into the phone number because there's a lot of static for me. So just everyone stay on the line. I'm just going to call back in. All right? And we're back. Okay, again, so in source number 3, it says, Umus Bahar Asher Ata Ole Shama V'Yasef Elamecha Kasher Mis Aaron Achicha B'Hor HaHar V'Yasef Elamav. So again, in source number 3, we see Hor HaHar is highlighted. Again, I bolded it. And in source number 4, it says, in describing Moshe's death, Vayikbor Oso V'Gai Be'eretz Moav Mol Beis Po'or V'lo Yadat Yishas Kvuroso Ad Hayom Hazeh. It says that Moshe was buried in the valley in Moav, which is near Beis Po'or, and nobody knows the burial spot of Moshe until this day. So we see in source number 4, just to add to the questions, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, the site of his death really was supposed to be concealed. And it really wasn't that important. But yet, by the death of Aaron, it's really mentioned over and over again. Hor HaHar is mentioned over and over again. So the question is, what's the difference between Hor HaHar and the idea of Moshe, that Moshe's burial spot is really concealed by the Torah, but by Aaron, it's constantly mentioned that he was buried in Hor HaHar. So that's the first question that I want to take up in this year. What is the necessity of the Torah to emphasize Hor HaHar in so many places with regard to Aaron's death? So if we look in the Medrash, in source number 5, it's Bamidbar Rabbah. It kind of gives us a little insight into what's going on here. So in Bamidbar Rabbah, it says, Mo Hor HaHar, what is Hor HaHar? Har agabe har, k'tapuach katon agabe tapuach gadol. So the structure of Hor HaHar was such that the bottom, it was like two mountains, one mountain on top of a small mountain on top of a larger mountain, like an apple on top of a small apple on top of a big apple. Afa pisha anan holech lifnehem, even though the clouds would go before Klal Yisrael, mashpil es hagavoa umagbia es hashafel, and normally the clouds would flatten out the mountains. That was part of the job of the clouds, ananim. Hiniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu es ahar hazeh, Hashem left this har. Dugma, as an example, Shiyadu Nisim Sha'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahem, so that everyone would know the miracles that Hashem did. Shalo Hiniach Har B'Midbar, Shalo Yehu Misyagein V'Olam B'Yordim. That Hashem, the miracle was that Hashem didn't want the Jews to be tired, so he flattened out all the mountains except for some mountains. Ve'od Afa Pishaya Anan Osa Kol HaMidbar Mishor, Hayam Hiniach Makom Gavol L'Mishkan. So even though the whole Midbar was made into a plain, he left a higher spot for the Mishkan, Shuchon Hashem, V'Niach Gimel Harim, and he also left three different mountains, Har Sinai L'Shechina, V'Har Nevo L'Kvuras Moshe, V'Hor HaHar L'Kvuras Aaron. So he left three mountains. One is Har Sinai for the Shechina, meaning Torah, the Torah, Har Nevo, which was the place that Moshe died, and Hor HaHar for Aaron's death. So Bamidbar Rabbah explains that Hor HaHar, which, trying to answer our question of what the significance of Hor HaHar is. Hor HaHar is one mountain, a small mountain on top of a large mountain. And the idea was to teach us that the Ananim, these clouds that surrounded the Jewish people as they were traveling to the desert, would typically flatten the area that they were going through. except it left a couple different places that were higher. One was for the Mishkan, and the other was Har Sinai, and the last one was Hor HaHar. So the Torah, or the Medrash, excuse me, explains that Hor HaHar is really a description of the way that the mountain looked. And it looked like one mountain on top of another mountain. But also, there's another idea tied to the Medrash, which is that the Anonim specifically left these Harim, but all the rest of the Midbar was flattened out by the Harim. And we see that the Ramban, in source number 6, says, V'anira b'enai ki Hor HaHar gadol shebaharim v'aruch parsoos rabos. The Ramban, he validates the Medrash, and he says that Hor HaHar was very large, and it was very long. It was a long and high mountain. Ushmo mochiach, and the shame of Hor HaHar is really a proof for the size of Hor HaHar. Ki hu yikra har v'yomru lo ha-hor le-godlo v'archo. Hor HaHar, sorry. Hu yikra hor v'yomru lo ha-hor le-godlo v'archo. It's really called Hor, but it was called Hor HaHar because of its size. V'chach amru rabosenu shaya har agabe har. So it says, the Chazal say in Medrash Rabba that it was a mountain on top of a mountain, like we saw in our Medrash. V'yasuf ha-har ad gvul eretz Edom. The end of the mountain was till Edom. V'rosho karav l'chashmona. And the head was close to Chashmona of the mountain. V'yubi mishor asher lifnei hor ha-har arim o'mekomos ha-nekraim moseros uvnei yakon v'choda gidgad v'yadvasa v'evrona v'etzum gavar v'kadesh. So these were all towns that were in the plains before this mountain. Ve'ilam akomos ein b'nei merchak rav. They're not very far from one another. Ki amachne agadol hu biyom echad mahalchim kum parsa o pachos mikan. So a large camp travels like a parsa, a little bit less than a day, and these were close to one another. So the Ramban says, just like similar to the Medrash, that Hor HaHar, the structure of it was such that it was a large, very large mountain. One, the Medrash says it was a har on top of a har. So it was very large and very, very big. But the Medrash ties it into the Anonim, which is interesting, because the Medrash says in source number 5, which we read, that it's to teach us the nace of the Anon, that when the Anon traveled, it left certain mountains, but all the rest of the Midbar was flattened out by the Anonim so that the Jews would be able to travel and not get tired and worn out. And the idea of Hor HaHar is tied to the idea of the Anonim, that the Anonim, the clouds that surrounded the Jews to protect them and also function to flatten out the land. And instead of flattening out these mountains, it specifically left these mountains as important places, one for Torah, the other one for Moshe and Aaron's burial, but also to teach us the nace of the Anonim, the nisim, the miracles of the Anonim, of the clouds and what they did in the Midbar. So what's interesting, which I think will tie into the question that we had, and the main question is, why does the Torah have to always associate Aaron with the place of his burial of Hor HaHar when we see that it's not mentioned at all by Miriam and also by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's supposed to be concealed, but by Aaron, the Torah provides us with a lot of emphasis on Hor HaHar. And we know that it was very large. So the Medrash at least ties it into the nace of the Anonim. And we know, and we'll see from the Torah, from our Parsha, that Aaron's death is also associated with the loss of the Ananei HaKavod, with the loss of these miraculous clouds. So let's look inside. So a little bit further, the next parak in our parsha, which is parak Chaf Aleph in source number 7, it starts as follows: Vayishma Knani Melcha Rad Yosheva Negev Ki Ba Yisrael Derech Asarim Vayilachem Yisrael Vayishmi Menu Shevi. So the king of Canaan, Vayishma Knani Melch Arad. The Knani Melech Arad, the king of Arad, who was living in the south, they heard that the Jews were coming close through Asarim, this place called Asarim, and they fought with the Jews, and they took captives. Rashi says over there, Vayishma Knani, Shama Shemes Aram, Minestalku Anane Kavod. So what did he hear? Why does the Torah say, Vayishma Knani Melech Arad? What exactly did he hear? He heard that the Anonim, the clouds, were removed because of or after Aaron's death. Kedisa Rosh Hashanah, the Amalek Ma'olam Ratsuas Mardos Lisrael Mizuam the Choles the Peranios. And Amalek was always there to chastise the Jewish people, and they were always ready to fight with the Jews, so they saw this as an opportunity to fight the Jews. So the Medrash that he's quoting, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, says that when Aaron died, the Ananim, the Anani HaKavod, were removed. And one of the ideas was that because the Anane HaKavod, which were there not just to flatten out the land, but also to protect the Jews, were removed, the Amalek, which was really this story, Vayishmak Nani Melcharad, is really a reference to Amalek. They took advantage of this situation, and they took advantage of the fact that the Jews no longer had the protection of the Ananim. But the question is, what is the relationship between Aaron and the Ananim? Why is it that when Aaron died, the Ananim were gone, were removed? And if we understand that, maybe we can understand why Hor HaHar is always emphasized with regard to Aaron. So what is the relationship between Aaron and the Anani HaKavod? So let's look in the Gemara itself. There's two Gemaras. One is in Rosh Hashanah, and it's Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Vayishmak Nani Melech Arad, Mashmu Hashama, Shama Shemes Aaron. This is the Gemara that Rashi quotes, so it's important always, whenever Rashi quotes a Gemara, it's always important to see the Gemara inside. So what exactly did they hear? They heard that Aaron died. Vinistalku Anani HaKavod, and the clouds of glory, the clouds that were the Hashgachas Hashem, divine intervention to protect the Jewish people and to flatten out the land, so they were gone. Uksavar nisna rishus li lachem b'Yisrael, and they thought because the clouds were gone, now they could fight. V'hanu dechsev v'yiru klad ha'eda ki gava Aaron, and that's what it means when it says that the Jews saw that Aaron had died. The Amar Rabbi Avahu al tikre v'yiru ela v'yiru'u. Don't read it as they saw, but rather they were scared. Vayiru is with two yuds, it means that they were scared. Kidereish Lakish, Dama Reish Lakish, Ki Meshamesh Ba'arbo, Lashonos I Dilma Eladaha. So it's like Reish Lakish, who holds that the word ki is used in four different ways as I Dilma Eladaha. It's a different idea. But the main point is that the Gemara is saying that once Aaron died, the Ananim were removed, the Anani Kavod. So the question that we have is, what's the connection between Aaron and the Anani Kavod? And furthermore, and we see this from Araya, it says that when Aaron died, so it says Vayiru, they saw that Aaron had died, but we should read it Vayiru. The Medrash, the Drash is Vayiru, that they were scared because Aaron had died. So what's the idea, what's the connection between Aaron and the Ananim, and why is it that when Aaron died, the Ananim were removed? So that's the question. And we'll answer that question pretty soon, don't worry. And source number 10, just to add to one other point, which will also be an important point, in answering this question, the Gemara in Tainis Daf Tes Amud Aleph, it also says that there were three different miracles that occurred because of three different tzaddikim in the Midbar. One was Miriam, and that was the Be'er. The famous well that traveled with the Jews was Bischus Miriam. And the Mon, the food that the Jews ate, was Bischus Moshe. And the Ananim, the clouds, were Bischus Aaron. And the Gemara in Tainis says that after Miriam and Aaron died, they nevertheless, if you look in source number 10, Chazru Shneam B'schus Moshe. Even though they were temporarily removed, the Be'er was lost temporarily, and the Ananim were lost temporarily, but they came back because of the Schus Moshe. Meis Moshe Nistalku Kulan. But when Moshe died, all of these miracles stopped. The Mon, the Ananim, and also the Be'er. Shneamar V'achid Eshloshes HaRoim B'Yerach Echad. So it says in the pasuk that I visited the three shepherds in one time period. V'chi b'yerach echad, in 1 month mesu, did they die all in the same month? Falo Miriam mesa b'nisan. Miriam died in Nisan. Aaron ba'av u'Moshe ba'adar. They all died in different months. So what is the pasuk referring to? Ela melamech nesbatlu shlosh matanos tovo shenasnu al yadan. The three gifts that Hashem provided for Klal Yisrael were nullified when they died, when Moshe died. They were all removed when Moshe died. So then the Gemara takes up a different point. Shiny Moshe came into the Rabim Hubai Karabim Dami. So usually there's no hashkacha of sustenance for one, for a Yachid. So Moshe was different because he was like the Rabim. It's a different point in Tainus. But the main idea I wanted to bring out is the fact that there were three different gifts that Hashem gave to the Jews because of three tzaddikim: Miriam, the Be'er, Aaron, the Ananim, and Moshe, the Mon. And when Aaron and Miriam died, their gifts were removed temporarily, but then they returned because of Moshe's Zechus. So what does that mean? Now the question is also, what does it mean that they returned because of Moshe's Zechus? So first we have to understand what the connection between Aaron and the Ananim are, and then we can also explain, hopefully, why it returned with Moshe. And finally, one last point, and then we'll start answering the questions. In source number 11, it says, "Vayiru kol ha'eda kishiro Moshe v'Elazar yordim v'Aaron lo yarad." When the Jews saw, this is the Peshat of Rashi. When the Jews saw that Moshe and Elazar came down without Aaron, "Amru heichanu Aaron?" They said, "Where is Aaron? Amar lahem mes." And he said, Moshe said to them, to the Jewish people, he died. Amru lo, they said to him, Efshar misha amad kineged amalach v'atzar samagefa yishlod bo malach amavis. Is it possible that the individual who stood up to the malach amavis, this is by Korach, and he was able to stop the plague, is it possible that he's been killed by the malach amavis? Miyad bikesh Moshe rachamim. Moshe requested mercy. V'heruhu malachi ashar yislahem mutab mita ra'u v'heminu. There was an image of Aaron dead in a deathbed, and after that the Jews believed it. So this Medrash says that when Elazar, just to summarize the pshat, when Elazar and Moshe came down, the Jews were in shock. They didn't believe that Aaron had died, and the Medrash says that how could the individual who stopped the plague, who stood up to the Malach HaMavis, meaning Aaron, how is it possible that he was dead? And Moshe was mispalel, and he asked for rachamim, and the Jews saw the image of Aaron dead in his bed, and then they believed. So what is the purpose of this Medrash? What is the reason why, regardless of whether it's literal or not, what is the purpose of this Medrash? So I think all these ideas are tied to one another, and they're all, I think, insightful in terms of what we can learn from about Aaron's personality and his death. So the main question that we started with was the Hor HaHar question. Why does the Torah always mention Hor HaHar? And then we saw that it was tied to the Anunim, that the Anunim, the nace of the Anunim were that they flattened everywhere in the Midbar except for certain mountains, and Hor HaHar was one of them, and it was a massive mountain, and it was left alone and as a burial spot for Aaron, but also to teach us about the miracle of the Anunim, because if you didn't have any mountains, then we wouldn't know that the other parts of the land were flattened out. But we also saw that the Anunim themselves were tied to Aaron, that Aaron, b'schus Aaron, the Anunim existed b'schus Aaron, and they were removed once he died, and of course they were returned with Moshe, but what exactly is that connection? And then finally, this last Medrash that Rashi brings down, when we see that the Jews were in shock, what exactly is this teaching us? So I think that there's one idea here, and the idea is that when the Jews were in the desert, the most difficult element of living in the desert is the lack of security. So when you're walking in the desert, you don't have any water, you don't have any food, and you don't have there's no protection, you're out in the open. And all those are elements that create a tremendous insecurity in a person. A typical person, average person, especially in the Klal Yisrael, is a very insecure environment, a midbar, a desert. It's not really a habitable environment, and the Jews were traveling there for so many years. And what they had to do, which was part of the development of the nation, was to place their security in God. And there's different elements of insecurity that exist. And some insecurities are tied to food. Some insecurities are tied to water, which is the basic ability to survive. And there are some insecurities that are attached to protection, the idea of protection. And the Anunim, which function to flatten out the land, but also function to protect the Jews. We see by Mitzrayim, when the Jews were traveling into the Yam Suf, it says that the Anunim protected the Jews from all the arrows that were shot at them by the Mitzrayim. So the Anunim were really protection. So that's another element of traveling in the desert that lends itself to insecurity, the lack of protection. And in the Midbar, the Jews were, the Jews had this task that they had to live with their security and place their security in these areas with Hashem. And that was very difficult for the people. So what's the idea of the Anunim and the Mon and the Be'er? That it came from B'schus, the three tzaddikim. So had they not existed, would the Jews not have these? So I think the idea is that really the Jews looked at different individuals, different leaders, as a template for how they should place their security in these areas. And I think the idea of Z'chus is that because Aaron exemplified in this area a demonstration of a complete ability to put his security for protection, his need for protection in God's hands. So the Jews were able to look at him and see through his actions and the way that he related to the need for security, physical protection and security in that sense, they used him as a template and they used him as a means of as a teacher, as a guide for themselves to put their security in God. And that's the idea of Aaron's, that's the idea in general of the Zechus of Aaron, Miriam, and Moshe. It means that in different areas, the Jews look to different leaders as templates for how they should put their security in God. in these different areas. There's different areas in needs of security, in the security of water, the security of food, the security of protection. Aaron in specific was somebody who the Jews related to and you could utilize as a template for this idea of security, of protection. The need for security and protection, which the Jews had in the desert, they could look at Aaron and see how Aaron was able to place his need for security in that area towards God. And of course, so that's what it means that the Anan was Mesulak when Aaron died. It means that the Jews lost this template, this guide for how they should be able to relate and place their security in God in this area, in this particular avenue of protection, of physical protection. And Aaron was really the guide for the Jewish people. And of course, what it means is Chazru, the Gemara says Chazru with Moshe, that Moshe embodied all these, and Moshe was capable of being a guide in all these areas, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people that were emphasized beforehand. And Aaron and Miriam, before their deaths, were really guides and teachers in the framework for the Jewish people in these frameworks, in the framework of how to place one's security in God in these areas, in the area of protection, the need for water. And that was what Miriam functioned as vis-a-vis the people, and that was what Aaron functioned as. And once they died, Moshe really embodied all of these elements and really embodied all of these traits. But when Aaron and Miriam were alive, they really functioned as the vehicle, as the guide in these avenues, in these areas. And that's why the Medrash says that when Aaron had died, it was such a shock to them, because they had seen Aaron as this bastion of security and this strong man almost, that he was fearless. He didn't really have any fear. And that was the idea of standing up to the Malach HaMavis. And they saw that, and they were able to glean from Aaron's personality how they should relate to Hashem and how they should put their fears aside and feel protected by Hashem. And that was Aaron's personality. He was a guide in that sense. But when he died, they were in shock. They couldn't deal with it. And that's the idea of the Medrash, that the Malach had to show them that Aaron was dead. They couldn't believe it because they had related to him as such a fearless leader, as such a fearless person, because of his ability to place his security in Hashem and his need for protection in Hashem. So they had viewed him in that way, and it was difficult for them to accept his Misa. So the Medrash is teaching us that they were in shock. They couldn't accept it. And it's also highlighting this connection between Aaron's personality and the Ananim as well, because of the Ananim also providing protection for the Jewish people. So I think that is why the Torah mentions Hor HaHar so much with regard to Aaron. Because the Torah wants to show you that Hor HaHar, the existence of Hor HaHar, like the Medrash says, was really a byproduct of the Nes of the Ananim. That the Ananim, one of the functions of the Ananim, not just to protect Klal Yisrael, was to flatten out the area. And this mountain was left for Aaron's death. But the idea is that whenever you see this mountain, you should associate to the Ananim. And Aaron also was buried there as well, because Aaron's personality and his essential ability to guide the Jewish people in this area of security should always also be tied to the Ananim as well. So so the idea of the emphasis of Hor HaHar is really that the Jews should always associate the Misa of Aaron with the idea of the Ananim and the personality of Aaron in the framework of guiding the Jewish people's security and need for physical protection towards God. And that's why the Torah always emphasizes Hor HaHar, as opposed to Har Nevo, which is mentioned, but it's not mentioned every time, it's not mentioned all the time with Moshe's death, and Miriam's Misa is really concealed where she died. But by Aaron, the death of Aaron and the place of his burial is tied to the personality of Aaron, and the Ananim is really what really connects everything. Because the Anane HaKavo, which left this mountain, which is really a reflection of how it worked and left this mountain, is the very mountain that Aaron's buried on and the very idea that Aaron's associated with, which is the idea of placing one's security in Hashem in terms of vis-a-vis physical protection. So I think that's the reason why the Torah always emphasizes Hor HaHar, that there should always be an association between Aaron and the idea of Hor HaHar, which is tied to the Anani HaKavod. So I think that's the idea. Okay, so that's the first point. And the second point in the Shir is really the ceremony that Aaron had to go up with his Begadim, his Big De Kahuna Gedola, and he had to pass them on to his son. So there's a Rashi explains, look in source number 12. Rashi says, Es begadav, es bigde kahuna gedola, hil bishu, v'hivshitam me'olav, l'sitam al-beno b'fanav. Aaron went up in his bigde kahuna gedola, and it was taken off, they were taken off of him by Moshe, and they were placed on his son, in front of him. Amar lo hachnes lema'ara, lema'ara v'nichnas. So he said to him, to Aaron, go into this cave, and he went in. Ra mita mutsas v'ner dalak. He saw a made bed and a candle. Amar lo Allah lamita v'Allah. Go to the bed and he lied down on the bed. Pashit yadacha upashat. Spread out your arms. Kamatz picha. Close your mouth. V'kamatz atzum einecha. Close your eyes. V'atzam yad chamad Moshe lo samisa. Moshe saw this death. V'zeo shenemar kasher misa aronachicha. Misa shenis avisa la. That's what it means when it says that Moshe died in the same way as Aaron. It's the death that Moshe had coveted, that he wanted. Okay, so the second part of Rashi explains Neshika. I gave a shiur on this many years ago. So it's definitely an interesting title, interesting topic of how Neshika works. But the first point is that Aaron had to go up in his big day kahuna. The question is why? Why did he go up in his big day kahuna? He had other clothing, and he had to give them to Eleazar. So what exactly is the purpose of this, the meaning of this? So there's a weird Ramban here that I wanted to try to explain. And I've always had trouble understanding this Ramban. And you'll see inside that's really strange. But I think I have an idea for the Ramban. If you look in source number 13, the Ramban is Avshedes Aaron's Begadav, Haim Bigdei Kahuna Gedola, Shnisrabe Behem Elazar Beno Ata. So these were the Bigdei Kahuna Gedola that Elazar, his son, was now being appointed to. By the way, if anybody has any questions, this... just stop me. Va'akarov ki kashi yarod Aaron me'asos atamed v'hikter akitoros v'hela aneros. After Aaron had done the service in the base in the Mishkan, hela oso el horahar kishay yalovish big de kahuna. He went up in his big de kahuna v'hifshid osam and he took them off. Va'derech ha'pshat he'll bishu tachrichi hameis asher heichin lo. The pshat is that he wore the shrouds, death shrouds that were prepared for him. V'hifshid es elazar big de achol. And Elazar took off his bigdei achol, v'hilbishu bigdei hakodesh, kasher asa imo b'yom amilum. And then Elazar put on the bigdei hakodesh, the bigdei kohen gadol. So the pshat is that Aaron went up in his bigdei kohen gadol, he took his clothes off, he put on his death clothes, and Elazar was dressed in the same clothing. That's the pshat. But then he gives this weird medrash. He says, u'medrash rabbeinu, shenasu b'hem nisim. There are miracles that occurred. Amru heich Moshe yachol l'hafshedes Aaron kisidron. There's a method to taking off clothing from a kohen gadol. It's not just you don't just go in any order. The halo hal yonim heim al yonim l'olam atachtonim heim atachtonim l'olam. You have the upper clothes, the lower clothes, and the idea, the question, the medrash asks is how could you simultaneously take off from Aaron and dress Elazar? It sounded like that for every time you would take a piece of clothing off Aaron, you'd put it on Elazar. But then if you did it that way, it would be out of order because the outer clothing of Aaron would be taken off and you'd have to wait to take the pants off of Aaron before you can put them on Elazar. So how was it that there was this simultaneous taking off from Aaron and placing on Elazar? So Elam Maisa Nisim Asalo Amakum. So Hashem did a miracle, B'misaso Yoser Mibachayav, in his death more than in his life. Hamidu Moshe al Asela v'ifshitu bigdei kahuna u'bigdei shechina no bashim tachtam. It says that Moshe removed the clothing, but underneath the clothing there were these bigdei shechina. There were these clothing of the shechina that resembled the clothing of the kohen gadol. V'yilbash osam es Elazar beno, and he gave the regular clothes, the non shechina clothing, to Elazar. So underneath there was this, there were these clothing underneath that were Aaron that were considered bigdei shechina. And they allowed Aaron to remain clothed while Moshe removed the underclothing first. So this is a great respect for Aaron that Aaron was wearing bigdei shechina, the begadim of the presence of Hashem underneath. The Chazar Moshe v'hifshidus Aaron abegadim kisidron v'hilbish Elazar kisidron. Kach shana b'taras kohanim. So the Medrash says that when Aaron went up there with his Kohen Gadol clothing, he took them off, and there was some other big Gadim, big Deshchina underneath him, and because of that, they were able to remove the clothing Kisidron and attach them to Elazar Kisidron. Not exactly sure how it worked, but the question is, what are these big Deshchina? Why does the Torah mention, or the Ramban, the Medrash mention, that Aaron, this great nes occurred to Aaron when he was dying, before he died, and the nes was that he had these clothing underneath his clothing that were big de shechina. What exactly are big de shechina? What exactly does it mean?
I'm not sleeping, and...
Hello? Hello? All right. So the question is, what does it mean that he had these big day shechina? So the idea, I think, is just one point in the Ramban. The idea of the big day shechina, I think, is to teach us about Aaron's personality and also to teach us about the big day Kohen Gadol. So why did Aaron have to go up in the big day Kohen Gadol? That was one of the questions that I had in the beginning of the shiur. Why couldn't he just go up in regular clothes? And why do you have to take them off up on top of the mountain, give them to Eleazar? So this is another idea in the death of Aaron. And what's these big day shechina? So I think the Ramban, what the Ramban's alluding to, is the idea that the begadim that Aaron had worn had become part of the very personality of Aaron himself. Meaning, sometimes you wear clothing, and clothing we identify with ourselves. When you get a nice dress, a man gets a nice suit, so you see, you see yourself in that suit, and you feel good about yourself, and you can identify your own image with that. And you see, when you see yourself in your mind, a lot of times you choose the clothing that you like, and you see yourself in that outfit. So I think by Aaron, the idea is that the begadim of the Big Day Kohen Gadol, they each had an element of a philosophy attached to them, perfection. And Aaron was constantly adorned in those clothing when he was doing avoda in the Mishkan. And the idea of the Big Day Shechina is teaching us that Aaron was affected by the begadim to a point where it became part of his personality. He no longer needed the begadim to be on him to have the same effect that the begadim had on him. And that's the chiddush, that before the misa of Aaron, before his death, the idea of him going up with the clothing and taking off the clothing and the medrash that he had big day shechina, I think it's teaching us that the begadim were really part of the very essence of Aaron. They had affected him to the point where they became an internal aspect of his personality, of his greatness. And because of that, when he's up there before his death, it says, the medrash says that he had big day shechina underneath his begadim. Meaning to say that underneath his big day kahuna gedola, he had begadim that were attached to himself, even once they were removed, he still had big day shechina. He still had the same idea, the same philosophy that the begadim espoused about Hashem and reflected about our relationship with Hashem. So he still had that attached to him. And the begadim were just a physical remnant of that idea, of those ideas. But the real concepts of the big day of the begadim and the philosophy of the begadim were really attached to Aaron beneath the superficial clothing themselves. So the idea of the Ramban and the idea of the Torah teaching us that Aaron went up in his Big Day Kuna Gedola is to teach us that the Big Day Kuna Gedola, they weren't just clothing to Aaron, they really had become part of his essence, part of his personality, part of his greatness. And before his death, he was adorned in those begadim, and even when he took off those begadim and he gave them to Aaron as a demonstration of a passing on of the Mesorah of being Kohen Gadol, even so, he had begadim underneath him, meaning he had the same ideas, the same philosophy of the begadim. He had those still attached to him. And what is that philosophy? What are those ideas? So the Gemara says in source number 14, it says, Tanya Amar V'lazar, Lama Nisbecha Mises Aaron L'Big Dei Kehuna, Lomar Lach Ma Big Dei Kehuna Mechaperim, Af Misasan Shel Tadikim Mechaperim. So why were the Big Dei Kehuna tied to the death of Aaron? Just like the Big Dei Kehuna are mechaper, they atone for the sins of the Jews, so too the death of a tzaddik atones. So what does that mean? What are the begadim, big day kahuna, in the framework of atonement? So if you look in the Gemara in Arachin, source number 15, it goes through each piece of clothing that Aaron wore. It says, Lama nismecha parshas big day kahuna la parshas korbanos. Why is the parsha of big day kahuna next to the parsha of sacrifices? Lomar lach ma korbanos mechaperin af big day kahuna mechaperin. To teach us that just like the korbanos provided atonement for sin, so too the big day kuna. Kisones mechaperes al shvichas damim. The kisones, the tunic, was for a murder. Dechse vayit pelu es ektones bedam. Mechnasayim mechaperin al giloy arayos. So mechnasayim, the pants of the Kohen Gadol, were for immoral relations. Dechse v'asei lehem mechnasayim v'alach sos psarva. Mitznefes mechaperes al gasei aruach. The mitznefes atoned for haughtiness. Kedivre Rabbi Chanina, Damar Chanina, Yavo Davar Shvigova, Vichaper al Maisagova. Avnate mechaperes al hir alev. The avnate, the belt, was mechaper, atoned for a person's fantasy. Ahecha di ise, where it is, in the heart. Choshen mechaper al adinin. The choshen provided atonement for the sins of judgment. Dechsev asisa choshen mishpat. Eifod mechaper avodah zara. Eifod was mechaper for the sin of avodah zara. Dechsev ein eifod usrafin. Me'il mechaper lashon hara. And the me'il was mechaper for lashon hara. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu yavar davar shebekol v'chaper al ma'isak hol. So the me'il made noise when the kohen gadol walked. So it should be mechaper, atoned for lashon hara. Tzitz mechaper al ma'isa azepanim. And the tzitz was mechaper for brazenness. Ksiv hacha v'hayal mitzach aron. Ksiv hasa v'mitzach ishazona hayalach. So we see from the Gemara that the begadim functioned as an atonement for all these different sins. So what does that mean, and what is that concept? How does it tie in? So the idea, I believe, the last point in the shir, is that the begadim, the idea of atonement, which I just did a gemara with one of my chavrusas on this, the idea of kapara is tied to an underlying relationship with Hashem. Meaning, when we have an underlying attachment to Hashem, and we break that attachment by doing an aveira, so we bring a korban to reestablish that attachment. But there always, the attachment is never fully broken. The Jewish people always have an attachment to Hashem, and kapara is tied in or is premised on the idea that there's an underlying attachment that is unbroken. But when we sin, we have to reestablish that attachment. So the Bigdei Kahuna are atoned for all these various sins because all these sins have the potential to destroy the relationship between man and God. But the idea of the Kohen Gadol wearing the Bigdei Kahuna and them being Mechaper is the concept that there's a constant relationship between man and God. And the Kohen Gadol's responsibility, one of his responsibilities is to maintain that relationship, to constantly be thinking about the idea of the relationship between man and God. And despite those sins, despite Avodah Zarah, despite Gilui Arayos, maintain a relationship, a consistent relationship with Hashem. And just like the in that sense, it's mechaper, meaning just like kapara is the idea of reestablishing the relationship based on a prior bris, a prior covenant, the Kohen Gadol's job, when he's wearing the Bigdei Kohuna Gedola, is to maintain this relationship with Hashem. And the idea that each beged reflects a different sin that could breach that relationship, but the Kohen Gadol's job is to constantly be adorned with those clothing in order to constantly be reminded of this relationship, of this permanent relationship. And that's the role of the Kohen Gadol with the Bigdei Kahuna. And the idea is that Aaron exemplified that. Aaron, even in his Misa, he wore the Bigdei Kahuna Gedola because the Bigdei Kahuna Gedola and his role as the Kohen Gadol had been imparted to him and inculcated within his personality. And I think that's why the Misa of Tzadikim is Mechaper also, because the Misa of a Tzadik provides a backdrop for that relationship with Hashem. Like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they created this relationship with Hashem that is permanent, and we rely on that. We rely on the relationship of a Tzadik after he dies that he created with Hashem. We rely on that to establish and to be the basis for our future relationship with God. And when we break it and when we sin, we have to fall back on the tzaddikim. We have to fall back on their relationship and how they related to God, and that provides us a backdrop for kapara and for atonement. So the idea, the last idea I just want to share is that atonement is premised on a relationship with Hashem, and despite our sins and our tshuva, we try to reestablish that relationship. There still is an underlying framework of a connection between us and Hashem. And that's the Bigdei Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol himself is supposed to always be thinking of that idea. And that's why the Misa of a Tzadik is Mechaper. It means that the Misa of a Tzadik, it reminds us of that relationship, of that once he dies, when Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or any Tzadik dies, it gives us the idea, the concept that we're intrinsically tied to Hashem. And we have that relationship no matter what. So that's the end of the share. So I just want to summarize quickly. There's really three ideas. The first idea is Hora Har. The Hora Har idea is tied to the Ananim. Like the Medrash says, the Ananim are tied to Aaron's personality. Aaron was the guide for the Jewish people in terms of how man should relate to Hashem vis-a-vis the framework of physical protection and the need for protection. And he provided that, and that's why the Jews were so in shock when he died. The second idea is the concept of the Ramban, which is that when Aaron died, he had these big deshchin underneath his Bigdei Kahuna Gedola. What does that mean? It means that the philosophy that the Begadim had imparted and had taught him, they had become part of his intrinsic personality, his intrinsic greatness. And even before he died, this Nes is trying to reflect the idea that he was still affected by the Begadim even when they were off him. They became attached to him permanently. And the last idea is the idea of atonement, which is that the Bigdei Kohen Gadol are meant as a way or as a means of reminding the Kohen Gadol of the importance of this intrinsic relationship of Klal Yisrael to Hashem. And without it, we can't have a kapara, because kapara is reestablishing a relationship that existed prior to the sin. And the Kohen Gadol is responsible for maintaining that relationship. And when a tzaddik dies, like the Gemara says, it's mechaper, just like the Big Day Kuna Gedola. Just like the Big Day Kuna Gedola create the basis for an undying relationship with Hashem, so too, when the tzaddik dies, it becomes the backdrop for the relationship of Klal Yisrael to Hashem. So I just wanted to finish the shiur with that point. So anybody have any questions on the shiur?